Now it is my pleasure to present Dr. Ernest Holmes.
Thank you, Bill. Friends, when you and I know our relationship to this thing called life, we shall lose all feeling of doubt and insecurity. And in their place, we shall find faith and love, and we shall learn how to live successfully. There is a key to this change that can take place, a golden key that is available to all of us. It is available to you, here and now. Later on, I am going to tell you what kind of a key it is, and how you may turn it in the lock of your experience. Today, we are going to talk about your secret power, the power that can help you to overcome all your problems and difficulties. Did you ever say to yourself, I wish that I might never again be afraid of anything? Or have you met someone who had such a deep calm and peace that you have thought, how I wish that I might be like that person? Did you ever in some still moment feel as though you could almost reach out and touch something that would make you whole and happy and complete instantly? I know you have, because I have, and I am sure everyone has. We are all alike, because we are all human beings. This thing called life has implanted something within us that always seems to say to us, why be afraid? Why be unhappy? Why be incomplete? Why not live and love and be glad? Something within us tells us that we are only half alive, that we are not getting what we ought to out of this thing called life. We feel that just as we are invigorated by physical breath, so there must be another breath that we could breathe, the very breath of life itself. You share this feeling with every other person, and you instinctively know that there is something you ought to be able to tune into, something that is at the very center of your own being, which could make everything right, not only for yourself, but for others and for the whole world. It is said that Jesus, walking through the multitude, diffused the healing power which touched people into wholeness by its divine presence. His command stilled the wind and the wave. His knowledge of spiritual law fed the thousands. His consciousness of peace calmed the troubled mind, and his love was as a healing balm to the sick. Have you asked yourself, why can't I perform these same miracles? Why can't I live a life of magic? I think you have. I have, and I think everyone has. Jesus definitely brought an invisible power of life to bear on his environment. He told his followers that what he was doing, they could do too if they believed they could. He was always talking about the more abundant life, the greater happiness, the deeper peace. He told us that we can rest secure in the love of God, that the power of God is always at our command. He said that God is love, God is truth, God is life, God is power. Not some life, some love, some truth, some power, but all life, all truth, all love, all power. We do not know just how it was that Jesus acquired his terrific faith, but he must have had moments of doubt and misgiving, just as we all do. He must have experienced uncertainty, just as you and I. But unlike most of us, he triumphed. He walked over the waters of doubt, the waves of confusion, and the tempests of fear. And he said, in effect, if you wish to do what I am doing, follow the few simple truths I have given you. I have told you that the kingdom of God is at hand, but you do not see it because your eyes are so filled with tears that you cannot see. Your ears are so dulled with confusion that you cannot hear. Your minds are so weighed down with doubt that you cannot understand. And what was his remedy for all this? Open your spiritual eyes. Listen with the inner ear. Open your mind. And just what is it that we must see and hear and understand? It is this. This thing called life flows into everything and through everything. It passes into every human event and translates itself through every human act. If you think of this life as flowing through your every act, you will soon discover that the things you give your attention to are quickened with a new energy, for you are breathing the very essence of being into them. You know that you can think yourself into being unhappy and depressed. You know that you can think yourself into being glad. Did it ever occur to you that you can also think yourself into being well, into being prosperous? That you can think yourself into success? Well, you can if you believe in the law of life and use it rightly. But you must learn to use it affirmatively. You must learn to identify yourself with your desires. You must become the master of your own thinking. This is the only way you can realize freedom and joy. Therefore, you will have to turn your thoughts away from lack and want and limitation, and let them dwell on the good. Make yourself do this. Learn to think about what you wish to become. You see, you are a thinking center in life. And the chief characteristic of the law of this life is that it responds to your thought. Your slightest thought sets up a vibration in it, sets its creative intelligence in motion, and causes it to create circumstances for you which correspond to your thought. If you think of life as always bringing to you everything you need, you will have formed a partnership with the invisible, which will prosper you in everything you do. If you think of the organs and functions of your body as activities of life, then automatically you will be benefited physically. The spiritual gifts, which people have so earnestly sought after, are not something that God has withheld from man. Quite the reverse. They are something which man in his ignorance has withheld from himself. Life is never vindictive. It is not withholding anything from you. It is not even waiting until you are good enough to receive. Life is love. Life is beauty and wisdom as well as energy and imagination. You will be able to use its power in exact proportion as you embody its essence. If our acts, as they must, spring from our inward thoughts, then it follows that when we change our inward thoughts, we shall at the same time change what they do. That is, we shall be introducing a new law of cause and effect into our lives, and the effects of our previous mistakes will disappear. Doesn't that seem wonderful? The one, then, who would heal hate must first learn to love. The one who would live a beautiful life must commune with beauty. He must feel beauty. The one who would give happiness must first become happy. The one who would heal a sense of loss must first have arrived at an inner realization of wholeness. Miracles are natural. Every manifestation of faith through prayer, every wonder and sign which has followed the life of prayer, has been an inevitable result of some cause set in motion in the life principle. Every longing and yearning you have ever had, every secret desire of your soul, every constructive ambition you have had, is a whispering of this thing called life, assuring you that you are one with it. You are a manifestation, a personification of it. You are a center where life passing through you becomes a definite, a distinct, and a unique individual. There is no one else like you in all the universe, and there never will be. If you will take time daily to to sense the presence of life within you, to believe in it, to accept it. It will not be long before the life which you have known will gradually disappear, and something new will be born, a bigger, better, and more perfect you. You will pass from death into life, from lack and want into greater freedom, from fear into faith, from a sense of being alone. You will become one with everything. You will rejoice in this oneness. Now, there may be some who think that before they can accept this position, they must first become profound philosophers, spiritual sages, or men of such deep scientific knowledge that they stand apart from the rest of the world. This is not true at all. What the wisest have known is only a little more than you and I know. They cannot answer your questions for you. You will have to answer them for yourself. Even the best man who ever lived could not live for you. You will have to live for yourself. Fortunately, you do not have to borrow power from anyone. You are using the law of life every time you think. And no matter how long you may have been using it wrongly and ignorant, the very day, that hour, yes, the very moment, you begin to use this power rightly, the effects of having used it wrongly will pass from your experience. Does it make any difference how long a room has been dark? Does it make any difference when you introduce a light? Does it make any difference how long the earth has been parched when refreshing rains come to bring a new life, a new seed time, and a new harvest to the fields? This is where faith plays its great role. For without faith, it is impossible for one to do his best or get the most out of living. This does not mean faith in your personality alone, but faith in the great ocean of life itself, faith in God. No one has ever yet found a substitute for this kind of faith. I have never known anyone whose faith in himself, just as an individual or as a person, was great enough to meet the issues of life. I have met many who have tried this, but as yet I have never seen it prove successful. There is something about our very nature that demands a constant communion with the invisible. Every man is some part of God, whether or not he knows or believes it. But we hypnotize ourselves into thinking that we are incomplete and imperfect. We identify ourselves with the fantastic pictures of our morbid dreams. But the ropes that bind us are ropes of sand. Let us cease to wonder what made the machinery get out of order and spend our time in a positive realization that there is a divine mechanic at the center of our being who knows how to repair it. And having thoroughly cleansed our mental house, we must now get a new tenant, one who knows how to live in it, one who knows that he is living in the house of God. He is in heaven now. He is the guest of the infinite today.
Now, here is Dr. Holmes with his meditation for today.
As I said earlier, there is a golden key to right living, and this key is prayer, affirmative prayer. Prayer is our direct line of communion with God. Through affirmative prayer, we learn to clear our mind of negative thoughts, of doubts and fears. And this we must do if we are to become aware of the presence of God within and around us. Let us then take this thought as our prayer for today. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Let us join in affirming God's presence here and now. Let us shut every other thought out of the mind, all distractions of the moment, as we listen confidently, peacefully, and quietly. You are in a divine partnership with this thing called life, with the giver of all life, God, the living Spirit, almighty and ever-present. Therefore say to yourself, quietly but with deep conviction, I now accept my divine birthright. I now consciously enter into my partnership with love, with peace, with joy, with God. I feel the infinite presence close around me. I feel the warmth, the color, and the radiance of this presence like a living thing in which I am enveloped. I am no longer afraid of life. A deep and abiding sense of calm and of poise flows through me. I have faith to believe that the kingdom of God is at hand. It is right where I am, here, now, today, at this very moment. I feel that there is a divine law of good which can and will and does govern everything. Therefore, I feel that everything in my life that is constructive, everything in my thought that is life-giving is blessed and prospered. It blesses everyone I meet. It makes glad every situation I find myself in. It brings peace and comfort to everyone I contact. I am united with everything in love, in peace, and in joy. And I know that the presence of love and life gently leads me and all others, guiding, guarding, sustaining, upholding, now and forever.